Hi, happy Sunday. I thought I would wait a second and see if Dove or anybody else picked it up, but they didn't. So, hey, I'm just cuddling up to a hot cup of tea here. My computer is in the basement, and sometimes in the basement it can be quite chilly, so I'm all wrapped up in a blanket, and I have some tea that I just ran up and got real quick. So, what I'm going to do now is give you guys a link to a message that I will be looking at tonight. The date on this message, I'm trying to remember now. I've had a lot of requests lately to start doing Holy Spirit guides a little differently because the people who listen on the radio or listen to the recordings later are having trouble finding the messages. So one request is that I give the date of the message. So the name of the message is The Way of Peace. And the date of the message is October 5, 2007. Another request is that I give the link for the message. So the link is http://P=625. Again, it's just reginadonacres.com/P=625. And now I have another request. That's Jamie. She wants to go outside. Hold on one second while I let her out. So I'm back, and as Cheryl said, happy Sunday. What I'm going to do is take a sip of my tea to warm me up a little bit, and then we'll say a prayer, and then we'll look at this message, The Way of Peace, one of the messages given to Laurent and me. It would have been the very first message that came after the code, which I know a lot of people really enjoyed. I heard a lot of people commenting on the code and how they're using their code now and how the code is really helping them. That's great. So I'll say a prayer. Holy Spirit, I feel guidance right now to say thank you for peace. That is the same as saying thank you for what we are. I did feel just to go into a moment of stillness after saying that. The ego is often so busy, and we forget that everything the ego is chattering about is not really meaningful, not at all important. We forget what we are. We forget the peace. And we step into the chatter. But even when we are completely caught up in the chatter, even when there seems to be great upset, the peace is still present. We simply aren't noticing it in that moment. Help us to remember the peace. To tune in to the peace. Connect with the peace. And realize the peace is our true identity. Amen. All right. I'm just going to post the link to the message again. I forgot to notice how many people were in the room, so I don't know if anyone else joined us, but now I'm noticing 24 people. What I try to do is, as new people join, I try to repost the link. But often once I get into reading the message, I'm not noticing anything. So if anybody else ever happens to notice that people are popping in and you feel to post the link, I'll post it for Laurent. I notice he just popped in. feel free to do that. I guess not all of us can post links, though, now. It has to be an admin, I think. So if you're an admin and you notice people popping in and you want to post the link, please do. As I mentioned, the name of this message is The Way of Peace. And this would have been the very first message that came after the message of the code. I really, off the top of my head, don't remember it at all, but I'm looking forward to reading it. I'm sure it will come back as I start reading it. So this is Holy Spirit speaking. Peace is everything. I've told you before that trust is everything, but peace is everything too. The two go together and are inseparable, so that one cannot be everything without the other being everything too. Let me redefine peace for you. Peace, within the experience of the illusion, with the experience of an ego mind, is trust over doubting, acceptance over judgment, and rest over pain. It is choosing to rest or relax instead of choosing resistance, which is pain. Now hold on one moment. Jamie is scratching and crying at the door. All right, and I'm just going to keep reading this message, I think. So I'm going to go on to the third paragraph. Peace is necessary for healing. Without peace, you are caught up in the code of illusion and fearing the code is true. This is the opposite of peace. Fearing the code is pain. Peace is the path to the peace of God. Peaceful acceptance and trust is the way to awaken to that which you are. Peaceful acceptance is awakening. Denial and resistance are the choice for pain. You asked if resistance is necessary on the spiritual path of awakening. The answer, of course, is no. You choose all of your experiences, including the experience of resistance. And you experience it exactly to the degree that you wish. You may ask why you would choose the pain of resistance when you could experience peace. The answer is simple, and one I am sure you have not overlooked. You choose resistance because you choose not to know fully that which you are. Resistance serves your choice to know yourself not as you are. Your next question is how to let go of resistance, since you wish to be happy and free of pain. The answer is once again simple. Choose happiness through will for and peace. Choose happiness through will for and peace. And I will come back and explain that for those who don't understand the language of these messages. Oh, maybe Spirit's going to explain it now. When I say choose happiness through will for, I am directing you to the choices you are to make from the code. You are to choose the choices that make you happy. Follow your own happiness, and you never choose wrong. Peace is acceptance of all things, including the choice to choose what you do not want. When a choice has been made that did not make you happy, be at peace with your choice. Accept what you have done. Do not resist the decision or its effects. Through taking responsibility, you become more responsible. And this will lead to more free choosing of that which you want. Do not ask for any change to occur too quickly. Be willing to take your time. The slow way is the fast way, because the slow way is the way of trust. Trust sees no need to hurry. Now, this is wonderful guidance. And it's guidance that we can use over and over and over again. I'm just going to tell you a little story. Recently, I've been receiving new guidance over the last week, which I'm not going to go into now. That isn't important to this discussion. But sometimes when we receive new guidance, that seems to be followed by, what some people might call ego retaliation. I believe spirit would probably call it resistance. But it feels like ego retaliation. Sometimes when there's a new realization, when we ascend the stairway to heaven by another step, the ego comes back. And so I've been experiencing some of that as well. And in fact, last night was the first night in I don't know how long that I had trouble sleeping because of an active ego mind. And I had a little bit of a headache. And it seems like at times it even felt like a little bit of an upset stomach. I think I remember that. And the ego just, wouldn't be quiet. And the emotions in the body were stress, I guess. Stress. Wishing, there was a wishing it was different that was there. Now for me, these used to be, normal feelings. Now they are not. They're not normal. So it felt like kind of being thrown back into the past. And what was very interesting is while I was in this state of mind, I had to work very hard at remembering Spirit's guidance on what to do in this state of mind. I had to work very hard at remembering to rest the mind and not listen to the stories of the mind, remembering to trust, remembering this will pass. It was kind of funny because it really was like a reminder of just how difficult it can be. You could say to a point I had forgotten. I've been a bit spoiled lately. A part of me is grateful now that I had this reminder last night because I think it will work well with the teaching of this message, because this message is really talking to people who have the experience of the state of mind that I experienced last night. So it was a nice reminder. But something else happened last night too, which I'm going to go ahead and tell you about quickly, and then we'll get back into the message. Something else happened last night which was not at all insignificant, at least not for me. At first, as I mentioned, I could not sleep because the mind was so loud. But I did work very hard at remembering simple things like rest, accept, and trust, but it was very hard. So I worked very hard at remembering those simple things, and I practiced them to the very best of my ability under the circumstances. And what happened at some point is I drifted off to sleep. I don't know how long I slept because I wasn't watching the clock. I don't know if I slept 5 minutes or an hour before I popped awake again, but I did drift off to sleep. And when I popped awake again, the pain immediately set back in. The thoughts immediately set back in. the headache I noticed, the upset stomach I noticed, and I went right back to the practice. And somehow I drift off to sleep again. And then at some point I popped awake again and was right back in that same state of mind. And this happened quite a few times. But what I came to notice, which isn't something I didn't already know at one level, but I would say, it's one of those situations where it came deeper. What I came to notice is that every time I was asleep, I was perfectly happy. I came to see this. It's almost as if I was aware of both when I was asleep and aware of when I was, quote, awake. Right? I could experience the contrast because I was going to sleep and waking up so much that I was able to experience the contrast. Yeah, Laurent knows where I'm going. Look at his excellent with 3 exclamation points. I was able to notice that whenever I was asleep, I was perfectly at peace. The problems my mind were speaking about, the stories my mind were telling me, the headache, the upset stomach, the stress, none of it was there. But when I would wake up, it would start again. And yeah, Laurent is right. What it really, again, solidified for me, something I knew already, but again, we keep learning these things at deeper and deeper and more meaningful lessons. Something it really solidified for me is without the thinking mind, I, without the person, I, there was no pain. There was absolutely no pain. In fact, it was absolute peace and bliss while I slept. And again, somehow there was consciousness while I slept for this experience. So I was aware of the peace and the bliss. And then when I would wake up again and the thoughts would start again, there was pain. And this really actually, in the end, helped me to let go of that pain completely, because it emphasized for me the meaninglessness of the stories. That's what it did. It emphasized for me the meaninglessness of the stories, and I was able to get past it completely. So the way of peace. Again, what Holy Spirit is telling us in this particular message is that, you know, not only is peace one word that we could use to describe what we are, but peace is also the path to remembering that. And so what we want to do is we want to use peace. We want to use peace to the best of our ability. We want to be aware that the peace is always there, even if, you know, you're in a state of mind like I was last night where you can't really feel it, you know? That doesn't mean it's not there. And so what we want to do is we want to use peace to return to peace. And that's what this message is talking about, the way of peace. So let me start again at the top of the message, and I will start reading through the message again. But this time I will pause and comment as I feel guided to. And Laurent, of course, you can also, and anybody else who wants to share or ask questions, you're invited as well. I think we have a couple more people, so let me go ahead since I'm going to start reading again. Let me pop the link. Ah, there, Lisa, did you get in time to get that? All right, and let's see. Teddy says, nice, that's absolutely true. A Course in Miracles. Peace is the necessary condition for the knowledge of the kingdom to dawn on the mind. Peace is the necessary condition for the knowledge of the kingdom to dawn on the mind. So the way of peace, with Teddy's approval. Here we go. Peace is everything. I've told you before that trust is everything, but peace is everything too. The two go together and are inseparable, so that one cannot be everything without the other being everything too. Now, one thing we want to keep in mind is the state of mind that this message is written for. This is not written to a state of mind that is already well aware of and basking in peace. If that were the case, it might not need to mention trust. This is speaking to a state of mind that experiences a lot of resistance, a lot of fear, probably a lot of self-judgment, not a very happy state of mind. And so what Spirit is doing is giving us the tools, the pointers, the tips that are necessary to help move us from that seeming troubled state of mind to a more peaceful state of mind. And the two things he's asking us to use are peace and trust. Because he knows this state of mind is, I'm going to say, argumentative, resistant. He's already trying to address the mind that's going to say, but I thought trust was important. He's saying peace and trust go together. And if you think about it, for the fearful mind, they do. Because if you stay in fear, you cannot have peace. So you need to bring an element of trust in as well. Trust is kind of like the antidote to fear. So when you're talking to a fearful mind, in order to bring that mind to a state of peace, you do need to include the ingredient of trust. You don't necessarily need the ingredient of trust for a peaceful mind because somehow it's natural. It's natural at that point. But when you're talking to a fearful state of mind, that's an ingredient that is necessary. So peace is everything. I've told you before that trust is everything, but peace is everything too. The two go together and are inseparable, so that one cannot be everything without the other being everything too. Now, let me redefine peace for you. So here Spirit is going to give us a definition of peace that is very specific to the way that he wants this troubled mind to see it, understand it, and use it in order to be most helpful. Let me redefine peace for you. Peace, within the experience of the illusion and with the experience of an ego mind. All right, so peace when you are in hell is... basically what he's saying, okay? So this may not be the truest definition of peace, but it is the definition that is helpful to the troubled mind. Peace is trust over doubting, acceptance over judgment, and rest over pain. It is choosing to rest or relax instead of choosing resistance, which is pain. Now, it's funny that I had not read this message. I haven't read it in a few years, and I certainly had not read it before my experience last night. So it's funny that just through guidance, just through being very familiar with Spirit's teachings, this is really what I did last night. When that mind, that troubled mind came back, this is what I did. You know, the troubled mind, again, it wants to doubt. You know, there are certain things that I hear commonly. I mean, a lot of people call and say the same thing. And one of the things that I hear commonly is that people will be practicing whatever practice they feel guided to, right? But as they're attempting to practice this practice during a time of a loud ego storm, the thought will come into the mind that this isn't going to work. This isn't going to help, right? This isn't enough. These are the types of thoughts. And so people will write to me or call me, and at this point they're terrified, and they'll tell me the state of mind they're in, and they'll tell me what their practice is. And I can tell that it's a perfect practice for what they're in. You know, their guidance was perfect. But then the doubt came in and they started listening to the doubt. Okay? And when they started listening to the doubt, you know what they naturally also did is they moved away from the practice. They moved away from the guidance and they scared themselves even more. Well, Spirit is telling us when we are in that difficult, troubled mind, choose trust over doubt. This is one of Spirit's tips to help move from the troubled mind back to a more peaceful mind. Choose trust over doubt. So whatever your practice is, whether you're in the practice of what some people call NTI 2 Timothy, you know, resting with the pain, whether you're in the practice of saying a mantra and being still, whether you're in the practice of watching your breath, I mean, there's a myriad of helpful practices. Whatever practice has come to you as your guidance during this difficult ego time, when the thought comes in, that practice is not enough. When the thought comes in that you are wrong about your practice, notice that that is doubt. And remember that Spirit said to choose trust over doubt. Trust your practice. And remember, I told you that last night I had to work very hard at making these choices. Because when the ego is loud, we have to work very hard. So let's just do that. Let's just work very hard. If we have to work very hard to choose trust over doubt, let's work very hard to choose trust over doubt. Let's just do that. Because the doubt is only going to increase the pain. The trust is leading us out of the pain. Acceptance over judgment is the second tip Holy Spirit gives us for these difficult times. Another thing that, of course, I hear so much is whenever people are having a difficult ego time, they judge themselves. A very common judgment is, I should not be feeling this way. I should be in a higher spiritual state. I should, you know, Lisa's saying she never does that. I happen to know she's lying. Look at her laughing. You know, the temptation to come in and judge yourself. Now she's pointing at herself and saying, liar. The temptation to come in and judge yourself when the ego is loud is a very strong temptation. Or maybe you also want to judge someone else during an ego storm. Maybe you really want to judge your partner, or really want to judge your child, or really want to judge someone else. Holy Spirit is telling us judgment is not going to be helpful. And in fact, judging ourself or the situation, judging during an ego storm actually just feeds the ego. It keeps us stuck. So the most helpful thing to do is acceptance. Now, I will tell you, last night when I went through my little ego ordeal, the thought did not enter my mind that I shouldn't be here. And I think one reason it didn't is because I'm somewhat experienced. And I know that as I am, quote, making progress, the ego is also showing up. So I know that the two just go hand in hand together, and I kind of accept it. So I don't see it as a bad sign when the ego starts getting louder again. In fact, my interpretation is typically I must be doing something right. You know, because the ego has now moved from suspicious to vicious. So I don't judge myself when the ego starts getting loud again. I just move into the practice. And I think that that is extremely helpful. That's extremely helpful, just to move into the practice. Not judge yourself for not having a more peaceful state of mind, for not being able to get out of this. Every time you judge yourself, you actually help to keep yourself there. The next thing that Holy Spirit recommends is rest over pain. I probably, of everything last night, this is what I found the hardest. I found it hard to rest. But I obviously did, because I fell asleep several times, right? It's funny to have to say that I had to work hard to rest, but I did. And anybody who's had an ego attack probably knows what I mean. I had to work hard to rest. And what I did was I kept reminding myself that I wanted to rest. We could call it, I willed for resting. Right? That would be using the language of these messages. I willed for resting. I reminded myself that I wanted to rest. And the ego was all wound up. And I would start listening to it and feeling the headache and the upset stomach. And then I would remind myself that I wanted to rest. And you know what else I did? I'm remembering now. This is really helpful, I think. I not only reminded myself that I wanted to rest, but I trusted that I would. I threw trust in there. I reminded myself that I wanted to rest, and I trusted that I would. That's what I did. And it worked, because I would fall asleep. So, you know, it's not anything magic that I did, right? It's not anything magic. It's just practicing to the best of my ability. But trust was in there. I reminded myself I wanted to rest, and I trusted that I would. I trusted that the rest would come over me. And it did. So Holy Spirit is asking us, he says peace, okay? Peace is, and he's talking about peace to a troubled mind. Peace is choosing trust over doubt. Peace is accepting the situation rather than judging it. Peace is choosing to rest instead of choosing to be resistant. Then Holy Spirit continues, peace is necessary for healing. That's very, very similar to what Teddy quoted us from A Course in Miracles a while ago, that peace is the necessary condition for the knowledge of the kingdom to dawn on the mind. Peace is necessary for healing. Without peace, you are caught up in the code of the illusion, and fearing the code is true. This is the opposite of peace. Fearing the code is pain. Now again, when he says peace is necessary for healing, he's talking to a troubled mind. So don't forget that he has just redefined peace for us. When he says peace is necessary for healing, he is not saying right now that you need to get into a totally peaceful state of mind where there is no more agitation. That's not how he has just defined peace for us. When he is telling the troubled mind that peace is necessary for healing, what he is saying is, trust over doubting is necessary. Acceptance over judgment is necessary. Rest over pain is necessary. He's saying, make these choices. Ambora says he's saying, just chill. Yeah, he's saying, make these choices. And to me, it's not difficult to see that this is a true statement. I mean, imagine the opposite. Imagine that I'm choosing to doubt, I'm choosing to judge, and I'm choosing to resist. Can you see how I'm going to block healing? If I choose to doubt my practice, whatever practice came into my mind, if I choose to doubt it, I choose to believe that's not enough and I abandon it, abandon the practice, how could that be helpful? If I choose to judge myself, right, as a bad course student or a bad NTI student, or I should be beyond this, how is that helpful? And if I choose to really resist my current emotions, if I choose to hate them, if I choose to try and repress them or fight them, how can that be helpful? The only way that healing can occur is if I make the choices that Spirit is recommending. If I choose to trust, even if it's hard to choose, if I choose to trust, if I choose to accept the current situation as it is, accept my state of mind, and choose to rest to the best of my ability, then you could say I'm making space for healing. So this is what Spirit means when he says peace is necessary for healing. He's not saying that our state of mind may be incredibly peaceful at that moment. In fact, my state of mind last night was not. But I did practice this. And as I told you, I had a wonderful realization. To some degree, I had a healing. And in fact, by morning, I was no longer worried about the same story anymore. In fact, I was seeing it completely differently. So peace is necessary for healing, the way we've defined peace. Without peace, right, without making these choices, you are caught up in the code of illusion and fearing the code is true. This is the opposite of peace. Fearing the code is pain. And based on what we learned about the code, if you're believing the story is true, you're just going to continue to feed that energy back into the illusion and back into your own mind. So you can see how that won't set you free, because it's going to keep looping around and looping around. So believing the code is not going to be helpful. Fearing that the code is true is not going to be helpful. Holy Spirit continues, peace is the path to the peace of God. Peaceful acceptance and trust is the way to awaken to that which you are. Peaceful acceptance is awakening. Denial and resistance are the choice for pain. So what Spirit is saying, again, last night I had this difficult evening. I'm really okay with that, and I was okay with it last night, although it wasn't any fun. Being okay with it doesn't mean I was having fun, but I was okay with it. I knew I was having a difficult time, and I knew I needed to work hard to practice, and I did that. But there was also just this knowing that that ego was acting up because I am still awakening. So I didn't judge it as a bad situation. So I was okay with it. I was in acceptance of it. Now, if I had resisted it by, again, judging myself, saying this shouldn't be, somehow trying to stuff it away, that would have been a choice for pain. It's kind of natural for the human mind, which is the ego mind, to try and deny and resist uncomfortable experiences. We literally want to lie to ourselves about these experiences. But that's just never helpful. It is much more helpful to be willing, even though it's no fun, to let the experience be, and to just do our practice to the best of our ability for as long as the experience lasts. Rat, as Laurent has written, rest, accept, and trust. That's the way to healing. You know, one way that a lot of people call me is because they are in a fearful state of mind or a state of mind of hate. I would say fear and hate are the two most common. Probably because those are the most uncomfortable. Depression also. Fear, hate, and depression. And it's probably because there's such uncomfortable feelings, right? Fear, hate, and depression. When people call me with their fear, hate, and depression, oh, guilt, that's another one, yes, Lisa. What they want me to do is give them what I would call a magic bullet or a magic pill. They want me to tell them how to get rid of this. They want to get rid of this feeling, and I understand that. But that desire to get rid of it, that desire to get rid of it, is actually resistance. So we don't want to deny our desire to get rid of it. Like I said last night, there was a wish in my mind that it would stop. I acknowledged the wish in my mind that it would stop. And then I chose to move into my practice. I didn't deny that wish in my mind. I acknowledged that I didn't like it, that I wanted this experience to be different. But then I just moved into my practice, which included accepting it as it was, trusting it would pass on its own. Allowing these experiences while continuing our spiritual practice is an important part of the healing process. So don't deny that you don't need to deny that you have the thought that you'd like it to go away. Acknowledge that thought, but then just choose again. You know, choose healing. Let's see. I see a couple comments here I'm going to read. Regina, you have walked me through this recently. Oh, and I'm so grateful for these tools to move through. There is no other way. It works. Not easy, but it works. And Teddy has written, the desire to get rid of it is the will that must be turned to the desire or willingness for peace. Yeah. And no one can turn your desire away from one and toward the other but you. Yeah. And it's not always easy. And Laurent, asking who wants to get rid of it has been helping me a lot. So the self-inquiry process. You know, it's work. Any of us who do this know it's work. But talk about some worthwhile work. Okay, the next paragraph is relating to a question that either Laurent or I or the both of us had. It says, you asked if resistance is necessary on the spiritual path of awakening. The answer, of course, is no. You choose all of your experiences, including the experience of resistance, and you experience it exactly to the degree that you wish. I think this is a hard pill to swallow for some people. In fact, I would actually say the more resistant a person is, the harder it is for them to accept this. It seems to kind of go together. But the truth is, resistance is a choice. And again, having this fresh in my mind from last night, I saw the part of my mind that wanted very much to resist, the part of my mind that wanted very much to fight against the experience I was having. I saw it, but I didn't choose that. Do you see? I didn't choose that. I chose to do my spiritual practice to the best of my ability. And the funny thing is, the thought was right there that the best of my ability wasn't good enough. And that doubt was right there. But I just chose to trust that it was good enough and did it anyway. Sometimes when you're in the height of an ego attack and you're following Holy Spirit's advice, there's this funny feeling that you're lying to yourself. That's just ego's evaluation. You do it anyway. At least that's my experience. Laurent and Wayne, boy, they were fast on that one with the yes. Apparently they have the same experience. Yeah. Yeah. We really don't have to choose to listen to ego, even when ego's the loudest voice in the mind in the moment. And if we are choosing to listen to ego, it's because we are choosing to listen to ego. And that's what Spirit's telling us here. You don't have to choose that. Spirit is saying, I have taught you to choose trust over doubt, and you can, right? I have taught you to choose acceptance over judgment, and you can. I have taught you to choose rest over resistance, and you can. There's no way Spirit's going to tell us we can't. How could that be helpful for Spirit to say, oh, you can't? Right? We can. Every single one of us. We can. We just have to want it enough. I want it enough that even though it feels like we're lying to ourselves in the moment, we do it anyway. Even though the doubt is very loud, we do it anyway. And you know what? It works when we do that. We don't have to believe it to do it. You know, that kind of reminds me of the introduction to the Course workbook. Doesn't Jesus tell us that we're going to have very high resistance to some of these lessons? Doesn't he tell us that we don't have to believe them to do them? He says something like that, doesn't he? Same thing here. We don't have to believe that our practice is going to work to do the practice anyway. So it doesn't matter how loud the doubt is, we can still do it. So if we're choosing resistance, it is because we're choosing resistance. It wouldn't be helpful for Spirit to tell us anything else. So you asked if resistance is necessary on the spiritual path of awakening. The answer, of course, is no. You choose all of your experiences, including the experience of resistance, and you experience it exactly to the degree that you wish. You may ask why you would choose the pain of resistance when you could experience peace. The answer is simple, and one I am sure you have not overlooked. You choose resistance because you choose not to know fully that which you are. Resistance serves your choice to know yourself not as you are. In other words, Spirit is telling us that we still want to believe, you know, I am Regina, right? I am this person. You know, I have one friend who suffers a lot, and I do mean a lot. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 just being unbearable suffering, she's probably a 9.2. And one day she said to me, I'd rather be me than anyone else because at least I know me. I'd rather be me than anyone else because at least I know me. This was coming from a person who suffers a great deal. Spirit's saying this is true of all of us. It doesn't matter how hard my life seems to be. It doesn't matter what hell I seem to be in. At least it's mine. Right? At least it's mine. That's something we want to look at. That's something we want to look at. That's why we're choosing resistance. That's why we're choosing not to practice these practices, even though we can. Because we're actually very attached to who we think we are. A Course in Miracles tells us this. A Course in Miracles tells us that the Father loves His creations, and that just as the Father loves His creations, we love what we have made. But this is just something we need to look at. We need to question this. We need to ask, does this make sense? And when we are willing to let go of being me, willing to let go of the familiar, then maybe we'll start practicing these practices more. Because the truth is, we don't know where we're going. At least I don't. I haven't got any friggin' idea where I'm going. So it does take, I want to say balls. It takes balls and trust put together. Balls plus trust. To do these practices and head in the direction of, I don't know what that is. But holding on to what we do know is also holding on to suffering. So we need to question the reasonableness of that choice. Holy Spirit continues, your next question is how to let go of resistance since you wish to be happy and free of pain. Lisa says it takes ovaries instead of balls. Big ones. Okay, let me go back to the message now. Let's get serious. Your next question is how to let go of resistance since you wish to be happy and free of pain. The answer is, once again, simple. Choose happiness through will for and peace. Now, will for is a language that Holy Spirit shared with Laurent and me. It's very similar to be willing for, except it has more oomph to it. Like, I would say, at least for me, it has more confidence that I'm really doing something. Instead of just being willing, right, which there's this feeling of, but somebody has to give it to me. Will for is confidence that through my wanting it, through my desiring it, it will come. Will for, yeah, more ballsy, Wayne says. Will for seems to have some awareness in it of your divinity. Some awareness that this is the Son of God asking for this. This isn't just some wimpy little person hoping things will come out this way. This is the Son of God, willing for, right? It has some awareness of your divinity. And therefore, there's a confidence, a knowing, that what I will for will become. And what he's asking us to do is to choose happiness through will for. What does that mean? That means I will for happiness. Now, I did this last night. I didn't will for happiness, remember. I willed for rest. Because it seemed like I was unable to rest. It seemed like the mind was too wound up and it wouldn't stop, and I couldn't rest. That seemed like my current experience, unable to rest. So since I couldn't just move into resting, I willed for it. I willed for resting, and I trusted that it would come. And it did. So he's saying will for happiness. Laurent is saying he often wills for acceptance. So if you feel like you can't do it in the current moment, like it seems just beyond your ability, then you will for it. And you know that it will come about. Like a prayer, Laurent says. So when I say choose happiness through will for, I am directing you to the choices you are to make from the code. What he's saying is this is a part of the code. This is a part of what you're allowed to choose. It's already written into the possibilities. You're not making up something new. You're not asking for anything that isn't already God's will for you, isn't already available for you. It's already written in as an option. You can choose happiness. You can choose rest. You can choose acceptance. So will for that. When I say choose happiness through will for, I am directing you to the choices you are to make from the code. Then he says, you are to choose the choices that make you happy. Follow your own happiness and you never choose wrong. Now the trick here is to learn what really makes you happy. Because many of us are very confused about that. Right? You know, like the old saying, if it feels good, do it. But think of the types of things that people followed that saying into. They followed that into, you know, drugs. They followed that into relationships that were not committed relationships. And what came with all of this stuff was a lot of pain, which means it wasn't really happiness. So when he says follow your own happiness, what he's also doing is asking you to learn through honesty what makes you truly happy. Right? You're going to find, for example, judgment does not make you truly happy. Acceptance does. You're going to find fear does not make you truly happy. Trust does. You're just going to end up taking Holy Spirit's advice if you're very honest about what makes you happy. It's not the things of the world. It's not desiring outside of yourself. That has never made anyone happy. That has never led to anything more than a short-term worldly gratification. Happiness comes from what Holy Spirit is teaching us. So he wants you to learn that. He wants you to acknowledge, this is what makes me happy. Right? This is what makes me happy. And then follow it. Then you're following Holy Spirit's guidance, not because Holy Spirit said so, but because you want to, because you realize this is what makes me happy. What happens is you're coming to recognize that your will and Holy Spirit's will is the same. That's pretty powerful. So follow your own happiness and you never choose wrong. Peace is acceptance of all things, including the choice to choose what you do not want. Okay, now he's acknowledging that most of us are going to screw up sometimes. And by screw up, I simply mean not make the choice that was in our best interest in that moment. We're going to listen to ego. We're going to follow ego, right? But he says peace is accepting it when we do that. And lately I've had a few friends who, you know, based on what they're sharing with me, have done that And they are accepting it, and it's pretty cool, actually. Because as they are accepting the choices they made that were probably out of fear instead of out of guidance, as they're accepting it, they're able to look at it without judgment. And what they're getting out of it, it was well worth the detour. You know what I mean? They're being strengthened through it. Their willingness is stronger. Their practice is stronger. Their healing is coming about. You can tell there was no loss. It was well worth the detour, yes. So if we, quote, make a mistake, if we, quote, do something out of fear, do something out of anger, do something, you know, out of guilt, right? Then when we wake up to it and we realize we did it, accept that. And that just becomes another perfect lesson. It's just another wonderful healing opportunity. And guess what? Our, quote, mistakes can move us just as close to awakening as making the right choice would have in the first place. It's amazing. It's just a matter of accepting it and looking at it with Holy Spirit. It's amazing. So peace is acceptance of all things, including the choice to choose, including accepting the choice to choose what you do not want, choosing with ego. When a choice has been made that did not make you happy, be at peace with your choice. Accept what you have done. Do not resist the decision or its effects. Through taking responsibility, you become more responsible. And this will lead to more free choosing of that which you want. He's literally saying looking at our mistakes can actually help us to stay more aligned with purpose. It can actually be a giant step forward. Then can we call it a mistake at all? I don't think so. If it results in a giant step forward, you know? Holy Spirit's last little bit of advice in this particular message. Do not ask for any change to occur too quickly. That's because when we're asking for a change to occur too quickly, that's really coming from resistance, right? Like last night, when I was willing for rest and trusting rest would come, there was also a sense of waiting, a sense of being patient until it did. That's a helpful sense to have, the sense of waiting, the being patient, the trusting this will pass, the trusting rest will come, the trusting judgment will slow down, right? You will for it, you trust it will be so, and then you wait patiently for it. This is what is most helpful. Do not ask for any change to occur too quickly. Be willing to take your time. The slow way is the fast way because the slow way is the way of trust. Trust sees no need to hurry. So if I had this sense of, you know, I got to fall asleep now, I got to fall asleep now, I got to get out of this, I got to fall asleep now, that resistance, well, you can tell, first of all, that wouldn't work, probably even by my voice. That wouldn't work. But that's also purely coming from fear and resistance and judgment. That's ego all the way. And how can ego be helpful to healing? But instead, I'm laying there. I acknowledge I'm uncomfortable. I acknowledge I would like this to pass. But I remember Spirit's guidance. I notice I can't seem to rest right now. I will for rest. And I trust the rest will come, and I wait patiently for it. Can you see how that's more helpful? So that's the message. Yes, Wayne says. That's the message. Now, next week, I will not be here. And in fact, Dove has already asked Tom and Lisa, Tom Glaud and Lisa Trevino, to teach starting at 7 Eastern time next week, which is when I usually teach. So the time is already filled, so that's wonderful. It won't be dead air. So as far as Holy Spirit guides goes, we will just take next week off, and then I'll be here the following Sunday to go to the next message that was given to Laurent and I. And Laurent said, he says, that's good because he won't be here for 5 weeks. Oh, my. So So we'll miss you while you're gone, Laurent, and then we will see you when you're back. That's just the way that will be then. And 5 weeks. So what does that mean? Does it mean you're coming back in April? Going to the islands. You know, I kind of knew that intuitively. How did I know that? How did I know that? I just did. Those French islands. Is that where you're going, where those people speak French? Oh, you're going to the French islands, right? Yeah. Yeah, are you going to see our friends from Israel there? Are you going to their home? Yes. Yay! We'll give hugs and kisses from Lisa and me. Okay, so let's see. You're going to see, who was it that was from the islands? I can't even remember now. Marie, of course. Yeah. And Colette. Yes, Marie and Colette. All right, give them kisses for us. And Clara. Clara's here. So kisses from Lisa, Clara, Regina. All right. Okay, you guys, it's 6 o'clock. It's time for me to get out of here, so I will. Thank you. It's been great fun. Bye.